We ready to roll?
Yeah.
Do it.
Okay. Welcome to the Recreation Committee. It's 5 o'clock on Monday, November 4th, and we are here with all council committee members present and our director, assistant director, and our director of
recreation.
I'd like to acknowledge that the press and public were duly notified of the meeting in accordance with the Freedom of Information Act. And introduce the approval of previous meetings minutes.
Motion to approve.
Second.
I would just point out that Susan Stabini's name in the minutes should have an E on the end of it.
I-N-I-E then?
S-T-A-B-I-N-E.
Okay.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, instead of the I. Thank
you. Gotcha.
And otherwise, all in favor say... Oh, do we... You have to...
You can approve as amended.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Would we like to approve as amended? Yes. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay, thank you. And let's move on to the next order of business, citizens' comments. And Jamie, if you would like to come and introduce yourself for our audio. I know several, most people here know you, but we're also recording this for...
Yes, hi. I saw that the discussion of the pool was on the agenda. Mm-hmm. I think it still is.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Mm-hmm.
So,
and introduce yourself with your address.
Jamie Zazella, 104 Forest Trail. And some of you know, but I'm an avid swimmer. I swim on the Masters team. I was swimming 5 days a week, just got national top 10, top 3 in something.
Awesome.
Big team in the area.
Yay.
We have a really healthy swim program, both from littles to bigs. And obviously, like a pool on the island is something that is just would be amazing to me. My brain's in a few different places, so I just wrote a couple of notes just about swimming in general improves cognitive functioning, confidence, sleep habits, coordination, balance, stress relief, and of course, water safety. You know, no time are we more than 2 blocks from a massive ocean, and the fact that we don't have a town way to inspire kids to really learn expert ways to swim is, I think we could do better there. aside from that, I feel like, and I speak for myself especially, I feel like we all know about the drainage issues we have here, and I, for one, would die to have a pool. Oh, that's like phase 10 of my home improvement project, so... You know, but if we had a town pool that had access and that, you know, I could use, I would skip it, as I think probably a lot of other residents mm-hmm. would. So I think that's a lot of square footage of concrete and whatever else that we could avoid in the future. I know pools are expensive, you know, you do have to take care of them, but just thinking of some possible sources of revenue, membership dues, obviously, maybe it's snack bars, swim lessons year-round for all ages. And I would also mention that, there's a real need for adult swim lessons as well. It's not just, our kids here. I mean, I have one coach that opened a pool way out, like 41, and he has so many adults in Mount Pleasant that
really?
Are just learning to swim, and they want to do it, and they want a comfortable place to do it that's not
mm-hmm.
imposing or what have you. So I think, it's not just about the littles. It kind of goes mm-hmm. All around. You know, aerobic classes, joint water and rec training classes, that there's so many. It's triathlon, swim, run is such a huge thing, and I feel like we're really on the outskirts of that trend. Possibility of year-round pool space for Masters, for SCSC, or Swim Charleston. I can't speak for those teams, but there's always a limit as to what pool space. You have Park West closing for a couple of months, and so SCSC is, like, crunching into this, like, getting into one pool, and there's just not enough. Swimming is actually very massive in Mount Pleasant and North Charleston, and it's bursting, and I feel like here... We're really limited. We're limited by using the Wild Dunes pool. We can't hold meets there. And I just think in general, it's hard to inspire that culture when you just don't have that town
mm-hmm.
resource.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny, Evan's the only one from the island in his general age group that I know of that's from here. you know, other than like then you have like the Caldwell kids that are older, but there's just nobody. And we do have, you know, a decent summer swim team, but there's kind of nothing unifying us year round. You know, obviously, I think it's a community unifying benefit, location and benefits, a great place for everybody to get together and find some common ground and frolic. You know, there's also the possibility we have, we contribute to the LAPS program, which teaches less privileged kids to swim. There might be ways for our town to give back and inspire. There's, you know, those are only given in North Charleston and downtown, and there's a massive amount of territory that's right outside our connector that could probably benefit from that. And then just, I'm happy to help with any sources going, you know, if I can offer any guidance of from my community of people, but one of my coaches that is the head of North Charleston Aquatics recommended that the town look at the Hilton Head Island pool project, since it's a similar community in a lot of ways. They just built a pool, and I'm sure we can look at what kind of programs they have. And then ION, in regards to the bubble, no bubble, and what have you, and programming that they have. Daniel Island also is, I mean, that's, I think it's like a town pool, no bubble, but so that's a similar situation versus like an actual gated community type thing. LTP for the tent structure, and then again, the aquatics director, I'm sure I could help offer any resources, but I just wanted to say yay pool. And
well, and if it's all right, if we could suspend our rules so that maybe if anybody has questions, since Jamie's here and has some good knowledge, I make a motion to suspend the rules.
How about make a motion to move item 5B up at this point in the meeting?
I second that.
Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay.
No, you're good. So what's interesting is to hear this drum beat again is it's encouraging, because I've been down this road a while, and my boys swam for MPSC
right.
at the time, and you know, being in, and then one of the biggest things that we did, we threw them in the program, all three of them, but only two stayed in, one swam like a rock. And didn't make it, but we put them in there just because of your point is we're surrounded by water, and we just wanted them to be strong swimmers, and they all are, and to a point where two of them were only 4/10 off their Olympic trial cuts.
Wow,
so
that's amazing.
For back and breast, but it was amazing what it does as a community. The group itself is very strong. A lot of my neighbors saw the writing on the wall when I went through and put a pool in my own backyard and said, you know, we know where this pool thing's going when the chairman of the recreation committee puts a pool in his own backyard.
Oh, right.
Yes. It's,
and you live across from the rock.
Yes, and you live across the rock. They could see, well, this isn't going very far. But it's great that we're starting to see it. And a lot of things that you have brought up, I have brought up in the past. And we have a lot of the information and ways to subsidize and help offset a lot of those costs. And I've been saying it's due for a while. You know, hopefully we have the encouragement and the support to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. John, did you have any questions?
I don't have any. Well, I will have a question. I'm gonna make some similar observations to Ryan. Obviously,
Jamie, yeah.
I don't have the longevity that he has, I know from hearing from you and other council members, Norma Jean, and other city staff, that this has been something that's come up in the past, and it seems like it surfaces every so often. And you know, this is such a massive decision financially for the city, no matter how you look at it, that we've sort of already stated that we think this is a referendum type issue. And so we have given ourselves the next basically year to prepare a referendum, thinking that next year's voter turnout with the presidential election will be a really big voter turnout, so it's a good year to have a referendum. And it's also not a council election year, so it won't be politicized locally.
Mm-hmm.
So people can really vote on what they think is best, and folks can speak in support of based on the legitimacy of the idea. So we think the timing is really good to hold a referendum. So that's, we're starting this, the early stages, and Desiree, when she gives us her update, we'll probably, we started speaking last, in our last session, about creating a timeline of, okay, if we know that our deadline for referendum is November 2020, what do we need to do to get to that point? And I would say, I think you have, and I won't speak for them, but I, based on what I've heard, I think Susan and Ryan and I personally, as individuals, as residents, would support the pool. Our job is to act as, not as in our personal interest, but in the interest of the city and the residents. And so I'm trying, I probably have the most to gain of anyone in this room with a one-year-old daughter. the timing for having a pool is pretty perfect. So as an individual, I probably have the most to gain. I would love for us to have an area pool. I'm trying to be very almost robotic about the way that we approach it, so that if it passes and when we debate it and talk about the merits of it, it's not an emotional plea. It's a very much, this is well thought out, and this is the fact-based reason why you should or you shouldn't vote for it. So I'm just trying to give you all the stuff. My personal hope is that it would pass, but I'm taking the approach as robotic as possible, as objective as possible, right, so that, you know, again, that the citizens ultimately are the ones who are going to make the decision, and we want them to have very good information about what they're getting into. Some of the things that we are going to have to start uncovering in this process is our specifications of the pool. And you laid out a lot of different options that that could provide sources of funding. And there's probably some other ways if we got really creative. Some of those things we'll have to go into evaluating what a referendum could look like and what folks would actually be voting on, because it's not just a vote of to have a pool or not to have a pool. It's what sort of pool do we want to create? And I'm thinking out loud a little bit here, but over the last year or so, we've talked a little bit about forming citizen committees to help us with various projects. And this to me seems like a perfect project to involve some citizens in helping us do some research with speaking to people going outside. And Jamie has all but volunteered herself already. it's early to say whether or not we're going to do that, but if you would be interested, sure. We'll put your name on the list.
I think that's an excellent idea. Yes.
And
I love it. Yeah. I think that's great. And I think too, Jamie mentioned, some potential resources for us in North Charleston and Hilton Head, where they've been having these conversations and then creating new pool spaces. Mm-hmm. So that could really, whether or not we go in the same direction, they could probably give us a cheat sheet to work from, essentially, right. So of information. So so I, you didn't know you were going to get all that, did you?
Volunteer.
Yeah.
But so I think
you've been swimming, that's all what doing. You get for coming in.
I think it would be fantastic. And I think we have some others, including our Susan from the swim team, our swim team president, who was here last time, could also be a good
person. We also have some, like, you know, just in terms of different age levels and communities, you know, there are a few swimmers on the island that are, like, you know, we have a 72-year-old that's, like, top nationally ranked, and so, like, he will have a different friend set. Do you know Jay Brzezinski?
I know that. I know that last name. Yeah.
Andy Cook is in his 50s, 60s, I don't remember, but, you know, he's nationally ranked too, and so, like, everybody has a different set of network on the island, but it's sort of like we have these pockets of little experts that hopefully
that's awesome too.
But you know, I would just love for it to be a community thing. I think it would kind of move us forward as sort of a family-oriented community.
Wonderful. And then, do you have information for us to start our discussion?
Yes.
We're really just getting started.
I reached out to the program coordinator for the city of North Charleston. We just recently opened a new aquatic center and had a really good conversation with her about, you know, expenses and how much revenue they're expecting to get, how much revenue they've been getting from the DODS, their existing pool, not their new aquatic center. Staff levels, you know, how much staff do they need, lifeguards. So we had a really good conversation, and it's new to me because, you know, I wasn't involved in the city's, the previous conversations that the city had years ago about the pool. And she promised to email me. I haven't received it yet, but she promised to give me a good breakdown of expenses and from an operational standpoint, information that I think is going to be very valuable. We did discuss it, but she was going to send me budget information, revenue from all their programs, and results from community surveys. So I think it'll be a really good source of information for us. In terms of timeline, you know, if this is going to be included in the November ballot, the deadline to submit the question, the referendum question, would be early August.
Okay.
So by then, we need to have, obviously, all the financing in place and what the question is.
Mm-hmm.
There is an option for the city to host, to have an advisory referendum. It's non-binding, and it's usually used for things like this. Would you support X or Y, you know, to try to get engaged from the interest from the community. If the city is going to borrow money, which I would suspect that at least for the initial construction, the city would have to borrow money to be able to construct a facility like this.
Mm-hmm.
In order for that bond, not to count towards the city's debt limit, which is 8% of the total assessed value, it would have to go out for a referendum. The city doesn't have to because we do have a debt limit available. But in the past, for things like this, depending on the city's obligations for other projects, if we don't want that to count towards that debt limit, you go out for a bond and get approval from the community, which is what happened with the Marina referendum.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The city could borrow the $5 million, but it didn't want to commit that based on our 8% debt limit.
Right.
So that's also a question that needs to be discussed among council. You know, do we want to go out for a bond referendum and ask people whether or not the city could borrow the money, or is it more an advisory referendum? We just want to know what people want us to do. So that's just food for thought, and I wanted to sort of talk about that. Last month, we also discussed some ideas for community engagement. How do we get the community involved in this conversation and give them an opportunity to provide feedback? So in that vein, we worked on some proposed questions for a survey.
Mm-hmm.
And again, just sort of draft level, but the idea is to try to gauge where the community is. So, you know, are there any specific features that people are looking for? Are we talking about a pool that's open year-round, or is it more of an entertainment-type pool for people to rent and use? Or is it more geared towards programs and activities and swim meets and lessons? You know, I think that once there's so many, before we can get to a final point of how much, what is it that the committee is recommending, there's just a lot of details that still need to be hashed out.
Right.
And maybe through a community survey, that could help sort of narrow it down and bring it back to what the community would like to see. I did include there some questions about, you know, what the financial requirement for something like this.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely there are federal and state grants available. It could be, you know, people could donate towards the construction of the pool. But again, we don't know how much money we're talking about or what, you know, grants are great, but we, you know, they're not guaranteed, and you can't really plan for constructing something just based off of grant funds because you don't know until, you know, whether you're eligible or not.
We're still waiting for our multi-use path.
Correct.
You're resurfacing, so.
So, you know, whether people would support a property tax increase, or are they, you know, or would they be more willing to support it if it's paid for by grants and fundraising? But it would give the community, at least city council, an understanding of where people fall. Whether, I mean, I think everybody would be happy to have a pool, but when it comes down to it, in terms of how do we pay it, which shouldn't be the reason why we don't talk about it. You know,
right.
I'm always put off a little bit by shutting down conversation just because we don't know how we're going to pay for it. If it's part of the vision of the community and it's something that the community wants, then mm-hmm. let's just figure out a way to do it. Mm-hmm. But those are obviously difficult conversations that mm-hmm. need a lot of research. So we've done this. This is something that we will obviously continue to refine. We don't want to make it too long because then you lose people as they're answering a survey. But
maybe we could take this back
absolutely.
With us to look at and provide
feedback.
Absolutely.
That's
to
the
you.
Intention.
It's when we have more time to really like and
mm-hmm.
kind of think about it ourselves.
Yeah.
But I think this is a great starting point. And if we're going to involve especially like a committee, a citizens committee, we don't actually have a lot of time to work with. If we're going to get this on the ballot in August. I mean, we do, but we don't. We know how things go. And so I don't know if we went with the citizens committee, if should we be trying to actually get that going before the holidays, before we kind of take a December break, or...
What's missing? I know I threw the idea out there. I'm sorry to cut you
yeah.
off, but what's missing is a very clear directive for that
mm-hmm.
committee.
Mm-hmm.
Of this is what we need you to do.
Right.
So that's, and I guess this is the time to have that discussion.
I
think what we would need, what I would want here, and here's what I think what I think will be really critical come referendum is that everyone in the community feels like they had a chance to voice their opinion
mm-hmm.
and that they felt like there was a very transparent, informative
mm-hmm.
process through which they were able to engage prior to the referendum.
Mm-hmm.
And whether or not that was the case, I think the perception with Marina was that was not the case
mm-hmm.
for a contingent of
right.
Very vocal citizens.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's, I guess that's what I'm trying to figure out. I think that's where a committee might be really helpful,
mm-hmm.
especially if there was a mixture of folks of different demographics, different areas, and
yes, I agree.
Different varying levels of support for the pool already.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that's like a huge big ask, but I think if we have some folks who are really in favor of the pool, as well as some who are concerned and
mm-hmm.
Maybe already made their mind that they don't want a pool, informing the process of how we get feedback from the community, because the folks who are dissenters, I'd love to know, what are your major concerns? If it's merely funding,
mm-hmm.
then perhaps there are things that would alleviate their concerns. If it's something else, if there are bit larger concerns, we should surface those things.
Mm-hmm.
I know location will obviously be a big one, and parking will be, those are the two obvious ones outside of funding
mm-hmm.
that come to mind.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I guess what I would like to see most of all come out of a committee would be recommendations from people who want a pool. What kind of pool do you want? Like, what are you envisioning? What do you think makes this a success? I mean, I do recognize, I'm not sure how helpful it would be to have people on there who don't want a
mm-hmm.
pool. I don't know how really engaged they would be.
I
think it would be good.
Yeah.
And also, I think a committee would be good as a vehicle for reaching out
mm-hmm.
to the whole community.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the two things that I see and value in a committee is helping us kind of pull together information and reaching out to the community in a bigger way than
mm-hmm.
we might be able to otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about the committee approach?
No, anytime we can capture and help from other resources and help take some of the load off, the staff, I think it'll help. We've got a great network of folks in the community who are aware of this. And I was, it's just funny, because I was part of the LAPS program when we started up at Danny Jones up there, and we got that place basically renovated. I mean, and that was really the impetus to renovate Danny Jones program in that facility up there. There are plenty of, I don't know why I didn't even think about that for out here, but it's plenty of programs like that, and try to look at other sources of funding, grant funding, and have those people just kind of utilize.
Yeah.
But I think that's up to and Desiree and Norma Jean, you know, and Ron to work on that. And there's something that's something it's going to be up for the first of the year, and we'll go from there.
Do you feel like a committee approach
absolutely.
Could be helpful to you?
Absolutely. I think that is a phenomenal idea and something that the community would embrace. I would say that, I guess, shifting gears a little bit, you know, at one point we need to think about engaging an architect, somebody to develop drawings and specs, because we need to know what's feasible with the space.
Right.
You know, I think that what Councilmember Moy was saying, that giving a committee, an advisory committee, very specific instructions, that's the key to make those groups very effective in the work that they do. And I would advise against just giving them a blank check and then coming, we want a 50-yard pool.
Right.
You know, spending a lot of time doing that, and then, you know, the reality is we may not be able to accommodate that.
Right.
I would, I don't mean to interrupt you, I had a meeting with David Burt the other day, and got brought up again, and he's asking.
Is he the architect?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, okay, I bumped into him, you've got plans for that.
Yes. So, yeah, and reaching out to them, and with LS3P, and they're excited, and he's like, whatever you guys need from us, let us know. We'll pull our files back out.
Oh, nice. Yeah, he was welcoming when I talked to him.
And but it's, you know, it's been a while, and
let's talk about this.
Well, I just brought, this is some of the stuff that David put together for our master plan. This is the one that was on the wall in the rec center, but I had to take the pool and the additions off because we had a council member that didn't want that up there. But anyway, so this is kind of, and you can tell it's weathered a bit.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But the building was built the way it was so that we could accommodate future growth. You know, if we'd built a square building, obviously it would have been awkward. There were two reasons to build it. And this isn't exactly the way it is built, but it's very similar. You've got the little pods in front, and that was on purpose because we are in a neighborhood and we wanted to fit into the neighborhood, not have one big box sitting in this neighborhood. This is our existing gymnasium. None of this right now exists, okay? This is the hallway, and these are the front rooms, the existing gym. A couple of things that are worth noting is the dog park is back here.
Yeah. Does it come to?
You know, it's hard to know from here, but the dog park probably is somewhere in this area.
Yeah.
And I just want to state firmly for the record that the dog park is going to continue to exist.
Yeah. Somehow.
Yes.
It will definitely, that is too precious to our community, and it works too well. It's an amazing thing that we have going. No intention of getting rid of the dog park.
That's why I did talk with the city administrator the other day, and we talked about that, because that, as haphazardly as we built it, because we had leftover fencing and staff, we built it. Mm-hmm. I mean, we just put it up and became one of the most popular places at the rec center.
Right.
But that would be a good reason to engage an architect.
Correct.
So he could lay it out to know if we need additional parking, or maybe we don't need additional parking. Mm-hmm. I know when we designed this facility, we designed it, hopefully, if code hasn't changed much, that the bathrooms in the existing facility would accommodate a gym.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it would accommodate a pool, I'm not sure. But we made the hallway even wider to accommodate the additional traffic that might would happen with the addition. So there was a lot of planning in the facility that we're in to accommodate future growth. But I think it would be wise, and David would be awesome to work with us since he designed this facility. He's got the records. He's he's got everything it takes. And then he could give us the specs. Do we need additional parking if we put in a pool? Yeah. I don't know. If we do, where are we going to put it? And I'm sure, you know, he's got that expertise and can figure it out. So I will note that we did not turn the ball fields around, even though I really wanted to. But our lights were so compromised that the city at the time felt like we couldn't afford to turn the fields around and do the lights, so the lights were so compromised. We elected to just redo the fields the way they were and put up new ball field lights, which is fine.
There's even a community garden.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but
oh
that's
my
not
gosh.
But that's not the trees now.
I know.
Yeah.
So.
So NJ, was
that's
the,
interesting.
Is the pool, is it 25-yard pool?
I don't know that this says.
No.
Because I believe a 25-yard
is
the
minimum.
Ain't no way that's a 50-yard.
No, it's got to be 20.
Yeah, gotta,
swim
yeah.
meets.
So we should note for those listening at home that we are looking at a map that dates back to before
a master plan,
mm-hmm. before the rec center was actually, the addition was actually constructed.
Right. This was
back
and we
in,
had very,
what year was that?
We had several public hearings. We started December 2003.
Mm-hmm.
We finished December 2004
yep.
on time and under budget.
Yep.
Just so y'all know.
Yep.
We're very proud of that, aren't we, Ryan? And we had several public hearings. LS3P
mm-hmm.
did those because they could answer the questions about the parking and the,
okay.
And it worked well.
And that referendum, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but that referendum was staggered as well. It was basically if you want this,
right.
but as well, do you want this and this and this? As,
right.
Do you want this, this, and this? So it was like,
right.
We call it like a three question referendum.
I would like to. I think that would be something
yeah.
good for us
yeah.
to look back at
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
how you guys did
mm-hmm.
that. And
so, but I think it would be wise on our part.
Yes.
To get
LS3P
back
mm-hmm.
involved.
Yep.
And then we would get the information we needed to
mm-hmm.
to get you folks started and
yes.
Brainstorming.
Okay. Sounds good.
And I mean, I would. Well, I have a feeling they have something they can dust off that talks about the indoor pool. I would like us to be examining
sure.
both options
sure.
and be able to compare them in a variety of ways.
Right. So. And try to the best way to incorporate it and still maintain what, like the dog park that we have, and like that might not be it, but the best way to you
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
put it in.
Even the back door in the hallway. Was put in for
correct.
Additional
yeah.
expansion.
Oh, that's
it
right.
was
yeah.
not in the original plans.
No.
We thought, we're going to expand.
Yeah.
Just
I mean,
building.
A lot of people look at
right.
the front of the building and then are like, where would a pool go? And I'll tell them, there's actually, you know,
yeah.
a space
mm-hmm.
carved out for it back
mm-hmm.
there, and you just don't realize it because
mm-hmm.
most people, unless you go to the dog park,
right.
don't see that backside.
Yeah,
cool.
There are some big trees back there, so
mm-hmm.
we'll have to
mm-hmm.
address
the
that.
City's
ordinance. So, yeah.
Yes.
So
yeah. I mean, and to the degree to that we can talk to the architect about
mm-hmm.
preserving or the best way that we can deal with
mm-hmm.
that
okay.
in a tree-friendly way.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But in terms of, we're not going to meet again until January, or we could potentially meet in December, but I don't know if you all want to do that.
I don't know if there's a need to.
I don't think that they would be ready with
nope.
anything
okay.
in December anyway.
No, they're
so
in,
just
that's
get
a lot
of legwork done
yeah, right.
in
just
December by staff. I know that's kind of a month where you try to, when without as many meetings,
yeah, we get a lot
get
done.
A few things done. So let's try and really
okay.
be prepared to hit the ground running in January.
Well, I think last meeting we talked about having sort of a roadmap of milestones that we need to hit in order to get to the referendum next November. So we've got the early August. We know the question has to be submitted.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I'll make that request of city staff to have a detailed, here are the milestones that we need in order to be ready, that we think we need. So we know we want to get consulting from the
yeah.
architects.
Mm-hmm.
If we want to give a directive to a citizen committee, we need to assemble that committee.
Yeah.
We need to give them. And I think you're right, Susan, as you were talking in terms of the direction.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with the time that we're facing, that the direction would be, and again, I think, you know, we're going to lean on city staff to help tweak this and refine it and get it clear, but something along the lines of helping take shape of what
mm-hmm.
the vision for the pool is from the supporters. And this, I think the survey is, that's what this is designed to do,
mm-hmm.
But I think going wide and deep, wide with the survey and deep with the committee
mm-hmm.
is probably the way to do it.
Yeah, or
okay.
milestones or a roadmap
mm-hmm.
for how we get to the referendum, mm-hmm. what to August with the wording and everything that we need to get it on the ballot mm-hmm. and make it work.
Mm-hmm.
Bert,
okay. And for the city yeah. to, for the community to respect the process
right.
along the way. Okay.
And maybe to lock up funding for it.
Yeah.
You could do
yeah.
that before August.
Yeah, yeah, just find a way to pay just for it on the
grants.
Front end.
just a few.
Yeah, yeah.
Just well, you know, somebody's putting in a new hotel. Hey, I think Wild Dunes might be one of our biggest supporters on this. I think they would be glad to have some relief for their own facilities. They're trying to gear their facilities towards their guests. And if there's another pool on the island where people can benefit, including residents in Wild Dunes, I think they might be encouraging. I'm not sure.
You're,
can't guarantee
you're either
going
to say yes or no.
I can't guarantee it, but they may see
yeah.
value in it.
You have a 50-50 chance.
So. okay. Let's. Anything else on the pool? We want to thank Jamie for coming and all
mm-hmm.
that we... In your future involvement, if you are
no
okay
love
with that,
coming again.
Thank you.
Thanks,
all right, let's move on to departmental report.
Okay, you should have a report in front of you. There aren't a lot of changes. Pretty much the same thing. Athletics, our youth basketball program, skill evaluations will be next week, I think, and. Practices will start shortly after that, and the games will begin 1st of January. And they run through end of February, 1st of March sometimes. It just depends. So you can see the numbers of residents versus non-residents as of October the 29th. We have gotten requests from the Ole Men's Basketball League, I guess you would call them, to... change the Saturday morning 8 to 9:30 to adult only, and we're going to consider that, but wait until after basketball season
mm-hmm.
because once practice starts, there's no open gym on Saturdays.
Mm-hmm.
Saturday afternoons for the children because there's all practices and games. So I think once March gets here, we could address the 8 to 9:30 maybe as adult play only.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to speak to that, and you know. For
okay.
the record, I mean, everybody here knows that my husband is involved with that group, clearly.
Ooh,
sorry. but, you know, this group, just to review, is a large group of both regulars and people who drop in. They have a mailing list that includes up to 60 to 70 people, but they do have a core group, a lot of island residents, not completely. But I think it's you know well represented as any activity that we have and offer at the rec center.
Mm-hmm.
They have been very clear from the beginning that what they were hoping for was inside gym time, full court basketball, adult only. That got conflated a little bit when we added Sunday hours, and I think we. Seemed like it would make sense for them to have that time on Sundays, but they quickly told us that that was not a good time for them. So in response, we had a bunch of them come here. I think we can remember last year when we had a room full of them coming and just asking for us to give them that space at their time when they usually are playing outside that has worked really well for them from a schedule perspective. But if it's cold weather or hot weather or raining, they have no game. So we created this 8 to 9:30 space for them, but we did not create it as a space specifically for a full court adult only basketball. And I still don't understand why, because that was a new space that we created. It wasn't something that the community is accustomed to using. And there has been a concern on their part that they will have kids showing up, and it's not happening a lot yet, but we're talking about men who are 6'4", 6'5", they're older, as the group name indicates, but some of them have played in college. They play a rough game, and they don't want to be in the awkward position of having kids come in and wanting to play with them, or having to share a gym, which then they no longer have a full court game available to them. So I don't understand why it wasn't created that way to begin with. I'm speaking not just for my husband, but for that whole group. And I think that it needs to happen now. I would suggest that instead, if we needed to create more time for kids, we added the Sunday hours. They've been really popular. You could make the 1 to 5 just all family kid time on Sundays, and direct that adult time that we added in when Sunday hours were started to direct those players to Saturday mornings. The group that we're talking about is fine with, you know, having other people who are adults come and play with them. They are concerned about the safety element of having young kids. They had a fifth grader show up another week. They're either, you know, those kids, unless they have a dad or something with them to watch out for them, I don't think it's a good, safe way. And the people, the players, are telling us they don't feel comfortable with that. So if the idea was that we need to leave it open gym because we want to direct kids that way, I don't think that's a good idea.
Okay. Maybe I misunderstand, but my understanding was that we agreed to open the gym from 8 to 9:30 on Saturday morning for open gym. That was my understanding. My understanding was not open from 8 to 9:30 for adult play only.
I think they've been clear the whole time that that's what they wanted.
Right. If I misunderstood, I apologize, but that was not my understanding. My understanding was that we opened on Sundays from 1 to 3 for adult play only.
Mm-hmm.
We set those rules. It's been very successful.
Mm-hmm.
I think consistency is very important in what we do at the rec center.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, we have a very large group of folks that play from 1 to 3, adults only, full play on Sunday. Mm-hmm. So I just don't think it would be good on our part to change that.
Mm-hmm.
And 3 to 5 is popular as well for family.
Mm-hmm.
of course, Saturday afternoons is popular with everybody because it's all open gym and family oriented. Mm-hmm. I will tell you, I've gone back and looked at cameras at 8 to 9, and I really don't see the children that they're talking about. And I've actually shown up on Saturday mornings, and I don't see the children they're talking about either. I haven't seen them play half court when I pull up the cameras. They're always playing full court. So maybe I just haven't been there the right Saturday, okay? My concern is with the basketball season coming up, Saturday afternoons, Saturday afternoon, there is no open gym once basketball season starts.
Mm-hmm.
So now open gym is only 2 hours on Sunday. And I would hate to take another potential hour and a half of open gym that maybe somebody would want to play and they can't play. But, you know, I'm here to serve this group, and if you say put mustard on, I'll put mustard on. If you say ketchup, I'll put ketchup on it.
Well,
but that was my original understanding.
I thought it was clear when they all came here en masse that they weren't asking for open gym time on Saturdays. They have always wanted adult-only full court. So
wasn't that the first request was to have adult-only open court on Sundays?
Full court. No, they were really
Were separate. I'll
yeah,
speak
they kind of got mixed
issues
together.
And they got... Yeah, it's true. They were separate issues, and obviously we can go back to the records. I'm going to say I don't know that it matters right now what was said in the past or why things got where they are. It's a question of what's the best path forward. And I mean, on one hand, I'm thinking this isn't really policy level decision. That's I would rather us think through we've talked about some of these requests that come from residents from time to time. And I think what we have sort of landed on is that the easiest way to do this is that they work with Norma Jean sort of with a handshake, for lack of a better word, because once we start creating very rigid policies, then we start creating all of these weird rules. Like for example, with the renting the fields, we talked about this for folks to have practice, we say, you know what, Norma Jean said, I think we can work this out. I don't think we need to establish an entirely new policy. And I guess my question is, do you think that you can meet with those representatives and solve this? Because I don't know that this body needs to create a new policy for this level of the administration of the recreation facility.
Right. And I guess I'm just trying to be, you know, voice concerns and frustrations that they've had because they were, they immediately, I think, said when it was created as open gym time, brought that up and were told, don't worry about it, kids won't show up at that time. But if that's, you know, you can't say we want to direct kids who are playing on Saturday mornings to that time, and that's why we want to leave it as open gym, and but they're not showing up, so we don't need to worry about it. I just, for them, it is the concern they have. They do have kids show up. So the size level is different based on how old and big the kids are. So what their concern is as word gets out and open gym time is lost on Saturdays, that more kids are going to show up and they're put in an awkward position, especially if those kids come without parents, of either having to try and play with them or... and again, that's not... they are looking for an opportunity to play adult basketball at a time that works for them. But they're not saying other adults. They have no problem with other adults. Not, well, I guess they would have, if they had their choice, would like to have their own time, you know, reserve it. They understand that we've discussed that. That's not going to happen. They're fine with other adults coming in, but they have concerns about what they do if kids come in. and they're, especially if they're not their kids, that somebody else's kids, fifth grader, is showing up and they don't know what to do. So
I think from our perspective, when we discussed this, you know, what changes could be made, because I agree in trying to facilitate and accommodate a group of residents that clearly are, you know, advocating for the use of their community center for something that I think is great, and we should have more, you know, these kind of grassroots, community-driven groups. I think when we talked about what could be done to accommodate that without necessarily affecting a different group set from the community who also benefits from open gym, we felt like, you know, a good in-between could be opening up adult-only open gym full court Saturday mornings after the basketball season, and that way you're basically eliminating a time of the day that's currently very popular. You're no longer going to have that when basketball season comes, and you'd be, I guess, seasonally having adult time. It's not very consistent in terms of messaging. You know, how do you advertise it? You say, you know, people are going to get used to coming in the mornings and not. I guess we were trying to find a way to accommodate both the young people or families that like to come Saturday afternoons, that when that is no longer available due to basketball season, would like to maybe spend some time in the morning playing.
I would just respond to that by pointing out that this time never existed until this group came to us en masse and asked for it. So this is not, and then we are now giving it away and using it for another purpose, because we, you know, as always, lose Saturday time on the afternoons. And so the other thing is that is March is 5 months away. The precisely why these men are asking for the space, because they have used the outdoor courts, is for the time during the winter when it's very uncomfortable to play outside. That is why they're looking for the indoor gym time. And so I think that just really falls short in both, you know, nurturing what has come about organically, but that they've come to us and asked to help facilitate what is a really great thing that is going on. And I'm just a little puzzled as to the reasoning in this whole process of why we can't just do what I think they've been asking for all along, and that I thought we were trying to create for them, but we seem to not be able to go all the way with.
Well, I'm gonna have to disagree with you, Susan, because we are accommodating them. We opened the gym on Sundays just for them, from 1 to 3. We did first request. We were not open on Sundays. We opened on Sundays from 1 to 3. That's when they said was good for them. We made it adult play only. We established the rules for adult play only. And to be fair to the community, because a recreation center should be open and available to as many people as possible when it is open. And that's our intent. So because we were open, we stayed open from 3 to 5 to allow for family time. Then they discovered that that was not a good time for them. And I think I argued that that was not a good time, if I remember correctly. So then they came back and wanted Saturday mornings. So I feel like we have accommodated them. We've changed our staffing. We've extended the hours at the rec center, which is okay. I'm okay with that. But I feel like we are accommodating and trying to accommodate. Mm. So please don't think that I'm not trying to work with them, because we've gone distances to work with them, and I will still work with them. Mm-hmm. And I just can't think that I'm that oblivious to the Saturday morning, because I just don't see that issue, and I've pulled those cameras up.
Well, and I...
Can I interject? Yeah. And I would like to ask for rules of order, because I think we've spent mm-hmm. a lot of time on this issue. Yeah. And I'll disagree with you on one point, okay. Norma Jean, which is originally the Sunday proposition was entirely and wholly separate from the basketball. And we brought that up as a committee,
okay.
as just we want there to be Sunday. So that was, okay. I distinctly remember that. And mm-hmm. it was a compromise that the group agreed to, that they would take Sundays instead of Saturday mornings. So that was yeah. how that evolved. And I distinctly remember that part. Susan's correct on that count.
Okay.
But to your point, we still have accommodated them. Now, my main point, though, is not this particular situation. I think this is, frankly, outside of the bounds of what this committee should be, discussing.
Yeah.
And I think that this is, this is a discussion for Regina to have with you outside of this committee, because there's not a policy decision here for us to make, in my opinion.
Thank you. I appreciate that, and you're right. We've spent more time than we should have on this, and I'll let Norma Jean continue sure. with her report. And I respect your input. That you
sorry. Well,
I will say this is something that we're still debating and considering, because we do want to be responsive to this group,
right.
and we
mm-hmm.
want to be responsive to the, you know, anybody who comes to the recreation center, and we want to be welcoming, and we want to be accommodating. Obviously, the being accommodating has to stop at one point. I'm not saying we're there yet, but mm-hmm. you can't really accommodate every single request that comes before. We just want to make it as fair as possible, and as something that doesn't continue to change. Obviously, we mm-hmm. want to get to a point where everybody feels comfortable with it, where
right.
our residents feel heard and feel served, obviously well served mm-hmm. by our center, and then just leave it at that, rather than coming back every few months with a change. So I think
right.
that we just need to get to a point where we fully understand the use of the court, what accommodations can be made to accommodate this group, which I agree. I mean, they continue mm-hmm. to come to the city with requests, and I think that we're still in a position to be able to meet that request.
All right. Thank you.
What she said. Okay, continuing on. Our acting class, they have a performance on November the 21st at 5:30. They do a really good job, so if you aren't busy that night, mostly parents and friends come, but they do a really good job, and that'll be a good class for your little daughter mm-hmm. when she grows up. We're still doing the fitness class pass, and participation is low, but I think that'll grow as people find out about it. Most of the other classes are the same, not a lot of changes. Of course, there are elections tomorrow, folks, so the rec center will be busy with folks voting. Our next teenagers is Wednesday, and Edline Barrel will be playing our violin, our viola for entertainment for our teenagers. The Connect to Run, I think we talked about that, but we had over 1,000 participants in that this year. It was a very good event and raised over $80,000 for local charities, local child preventive abuse organizations. Ghostly Tide Tales was a huge success. We estimate over 400 people were there. Our pumpkin painting, we had 24 children attending that. The farmers market, even though we didn't put that together, we did work with those ladies, and they did a good job. We did keep the area clean. We lined it all for them, provided trash cans, and we worked well together this year, and I think it was a huge success and it was well received. The police department has scheduled some community public meetings at the rec center. They want to do these community things, so we've got a couple of those scheduled at the rec center. We're also going to incorporate a blood drive at one of those on Monday, December the 9th. Roper is going to come in and from 2 to 6 hold a blood drive, so we'll get that information out and try to get people out to donate blood. Our Halloween carnival, if you were not there, you missed it. It was a very good event last Thursday night. Our community environmental program, which is going to be on November the 20th, we'll start pumping that out quite a bit here, promoting it. We're also going to tag Arbor Day onto that, try to get people educated about Arbor Day, maybe urge them to plant a tree or do something of that nature, but we're going to piggyback on those two events. We think they will complement each other. Holiday Craft Workshop is on Tuesday, November the 19th at 4 o'clock. And, of course, our Holiday Street Festival, we're about ready to roll with that on December the 7th.
On that end, I don't mean to interrupt.
That's okay. You want to talk about that?
Yes. We discussed it briefly at Public Safety this morning. December 7th is the same day as Pearl Harbor Remembrance Day. And we want to, obviously, create some space for people to reflect on that. On that important event and honor the men and women who lost their lives defending this country. So we have reached out to the VFW and we're talked to them today with the commander buddy and talked about a few things that we could do throughout the program. Maybe in the afternoon, have a moment of silence or have the playing of the taps. And he had some suggestions about honoring. We do have residents that are World War II veterans that are
I think that's
still
great.
Alive and kicking, and we would like to invite them. And we'll incorporate, just as a heads up, we'll incorporate some sort of commemoration of that event during the
I think that's a perfect example of making a challenge an opportunity.
Absolutely.
And even does anyone know who we've talked about in public safety about reaching out to other organizations?
Yes.
I'd reach out to the Citadel as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean,
whether the colors maybe.
Yeah, the colors or their honor guard,
yeah,
or they can they could even put on some, you know, when their teams, drill teams or something.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
Super idea.
Hello, Colin's in charge of that. I could just ask him to.
Okay, I'll get with you because we need to put that in the program.
Yeah.
Santa's Cookie Workshop is coming up December 12th, which is every child in Alapalms will be on a sugar high.
Yeah.
And then School's Out Activity, which is moving to dodgeball. Kids come and watch a movie, eat pizza, and we play dodgeball afterwards. It's always a fun event.
Yeah, I'm glad that you all continue to do that.
Yeah,
it's
fun.
A good thing.
Front Beach Fest is March 7th. We're working on that, too. We're working on Easter Egg Hunt. That's not on here, but we're working on that, too. And then you can see the numbers of the cardio room, the daily average attendance, building hours, gym participation, and then, of course, we attach the calendars. I don't know if you've looked at the calendars or you have any questions about the calendars, but on the week of November the 18th, you'll say gym closed, gym closed, gym closed. Chances are it won't be closed on Saturday and Sunday, but we're having the gym floor replaced. I was not happy with the finish on the floor that we have, and I've been negotiating with the manufacturer for several months now.
The new one.
Mm-hmm. I just, okay. I don't like it. It's not what I thought I was getting.
Okay.
And so I've argued for about 6 months, I guess.
Yeah.
And so they'll be coming in that week to replace that floor.
Wow. What are you doing with the old one? Us.
I'm sorry?
What are you doing with the old one?
I guess they're taking it. I don't know. You can always dumpster dive, I guess. That's not beyond you, I know.
Well, thank you for fighting that battle, sure. If you are not satisfied with it.
I'm not satisfied, and I think it would probably work, but it's not what I thought I was getting, and I think what I thought I was getting is a better floor. So that's important to me. So if you have any questions, I'll be glad to try to answer those.
Anybody?
Mm-mm.
Okay. All right, let's move on to old business.
surfing lessons.
And
this is a copy of the bid tab. It's on the website. I figured I would give you all a copy. As you all recall, we rebid this. Rebid this bid, this RFP, and reached out. Ron helped to contact some potential interested surfing folks, contacting surf shops, and we did get a second proposal submitted by Friday. We opened those bids up at 11 a.m. on Friday the 1st. I briefly talked to the Chair Smith about potentially having some executive session to discuss contractual arrangements.
Do that or wait until later in the meeting?
We can wait until later in the meeting.
Why don't we wait until later in the meeting and finish with the executive session? And otherwise move on to item B. Well, we've already done that, which would have been discussion about a pool at the rec center. We've definitely covered that. Moving on to new business discussion of the IOP Exchange Club facilities and partnership opportunities.
So I wanted to bring this up to the group. This is something that it's going to be presented as an action item to Ways and Means Committee in the following week. The Exchange Club and the Turtle Team reached out to me about a partnership opportunity between the three entities. I've been embracing partnership opportunities. I think that it's a good thing for the city to work with groups such as the Exchange Club and the Turtle Team particularly. And this idea came up of developing a turtle hatchling scavenger hunt at Front Beach. And they reached out to the city potentially for funding, a tax funding for the implementation of what would be an educational program, very similar to what the city of Greenville has with their public arts program downtown. The idea is to establish a scavenger hunt based on clues about the hatchlings and educate people and get them engaged in our commercial district. We would be partnering with the restaurants downtown, putting information out there, and maybe, you know, folks who complete the scavenger hunt can come in and get a tax-funded t-shirt. So basically, the Turtle Team would be developing the clues and the informational brochure that would accompany them. The city, they requested funding from ATEX, which was unanimously approved, $6,000 of our tourism promotion fund that we have every year in the budget. We have $50,000 per program for initiatives such as this that would promote tourism on the island. So I thought it was a good use of those funds for City Council to consider. The Exchange Club would facilitate the production and installation of the plaques, and it would be six plaques, bronze plaques, that would have a little hatchling, and they would, you know, have the clues and the informational, a brief informational blurb that the Turtle Team would develop, and they would be installed in different locations around Front Beach, you know, the VFW, the Front Beach restrooms, maybe County Park, the existing turtle statue that we have down there, maybe the public safety building, with the intention of building up and potentially putting one at the rec center, at the marina, maybe even partnering with Wild Dunes, so that it could be an island-wide initiative. So that's just one example of something that I've been working with the new social chair of the Exchange Club and the Turtle Team, and it was very well received by the Accommodations Tax Advisory Committee and approved, so it'll be presented to the council for final approval. But with the goal would be to install prior to the 2020 beach season and start, you know, those efforts with the commercial district, and we would advertise it on the website. And I just thought it was a cool thing to do with them, and very low cost, and could turn out to be a really nice thing.
I think it's fantastic, absolutely fantastic, and love the environmental piece of it and tying it together with the turtles is just super. So anything on more feedback on that specific or on the opportunities that, I mean, what other opportunities do you potentially see for the city to work with the Exchange Club, maybe from a recreation perspective?
Well, we have talked in the past about, you know, I think logistically it could be somewhat difficult, and I don't know, but I know that the committee, rec committee in the past had discussed partnering with the Exchange Club and offering classes at their facility. I don't think we're at a point where we are not able to provide the programs and classes that we currently provide. If the classes and athletic and the not the athletic program, the you know,
fitness
classes expand to a point where we can no longer accommodate them in our facility, that is, you know, certainly an option. I don't think we're there yet. I think in the past I have heard folks commenting about the city partnering with the Exchange Club to provide access to the water for public kayaking, public paddleboard.
Right.
But those conversations really didn't go much anywhere back when they were happening. But I think that now with the new dock, they may, you know, they have reached out to the city about, you know, offering and making sure that the city knows that it's available if the city would like to engage in some sort of partnership with them. I haven't had any discussions about that other than the, you know, that initial approach. You know, the scavenger hunt, they're a little easier to to pull together, obviously.
Right. Yes.
But
it's
I know
an intriguing possibility.
It is, and I think it's something for council to discuss and consider. Obviously, you know, doable on our end. We implement policy. But I didn't know if anybody wanted to talk about that, or I saw it as an opportunity to share with you about the turtle hatchling scavenger hunt.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
Just a quick reaction. I mean, I like where your head's at, and Susan, but I think Desiree also, your point is sort of a crawl before you walk, and especially with the partnership, that's always a good idea if you can test the waters and see how the relationship goes and before you get into something a little bit bigger.
True.
So I like that. Just trying to think of the concerns that people might have with the plaques, because I love the idea, by the way, but just trying to play the devil's advocate. I guess I'm thinking about how is it promoted? How do people even know to do a scavenger hunt would be a question that I'd have. And then the educational component of it, like what is the education that we're providing? I'm assuming it's obviously related to turtles, and you know, what specifically are we trying to help people reduce their litter? Are we trying to help people be more aware of how they might disrupt or damage turtles that are trying to get, or is it all of it? Maybe it's everything, but just trying to make sure that we know what the vision is, what we're supporting essentially.
Absolutely.
And then my first thought, and I think this was probably resolved with the awareness pieces, but when people are doing a scavenger hunt on the beach, trying to do the hatchling scavenger hunt, my first thought is people are going to be all up in the dunes. So just making sure that, again, I know the plaques are not in the dunes, obviously, but just making sure that, again, that awareness.
Trying to find actual
hatchlings. Right. Yeah, right.
Yeah, we've discussed that. It's still obviously in the development stages. We thought about having a little sticker that businesses could use to highlight the fact that they're participating. They would have some educational materials that they could distribute to residents. We would also share with our short-term rental companies, you know, so that's something that they could help advertise as well. The obviously the condos on Front Beach, the hotel.
There are actually several different areas where people can do things, make changes in their own personal habits and behaviors mm-hmm. that can help turtles that mm-hmm. would be great to help. And that it obviously includes the lights out at the beach, mm-hmm. which we've been preaching for years, mm-hmm. but a range of other things too. And I have some of that information I can share with you.
Great.
But it mostly comes from the aquarium, so mm-hmm. I'm sure that they can, are going to be great.
But that would be very helpful.
Okay, wonderful. All right, let's, any miscellaneous business before, or do we do that after we come back out of?
We could do it now.
Okay.
If that's okay.
We are planning to take off December, right?
Yes, would be our usual. Yeah, no committees have any meetings scheduled in December. There's a special city council meeting early, the first Tuesday of the month, basically to approve appointments to boards and commissions, the city attorney, and also where the mayor shares the assignments for committee, for standing committees. In terms of the next meeting date, I'm not sure if this committee membership will change mm-hmm. or not, but we have tried to set a set date for meetings. As I said this morning at Public Safety, in the past we have tried to hold committee meetings the first week of the month. Sometimes that's hard to get for the staff to get the departmental reports ready and distributed on time. So if it's okay with everybody, we'd like to move the committee meetings from the first week to the second week, maybe keep the same date if that's okay with everybody.
Yeah.
But that way, you know, the people have time to finish departmental reports and we're not sort of providing incomplete information.
Sure. Sounds good to me.
Mm-hmm.
Is there do you all want to continue to do first Monday, 5 o'clock?
They do the same thing. Yeah,
okay.
We have
okay.
public safety.
So it'll be the
second Monday.
Correct.
Okay, yeah. So that would be
13.
Can't wait
to look at 2020.
I don't be able to tell if Carrie can be here.
Do we have a swearing in ceremony?
We have an inauguration.
Inauguration.
Mm-hmm.
Where the new council members would be sworn in, and that's the first Tuesday of January.
Okay.
Which is the 6th or the 7th?
Okay, perfect.
7th?
Yeah. All right. Okay. All right. Oh, wait. Let me read this. I would like to motion that we go into executive session in accordance with Section 3470A2 related to discussions of negotiations of an incident to proposed contractual arrangements related to a beachfront franchise agreement.
Okay, second.
You're a second?
I don't know if I want to, but I will.
Sounds so serious.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay.
All in favor, say aye.
No. Quite the opposite.
Yep.
No.
We may not.
All right. We're returning back from executive session.
Right here. Okay.
Okay.
We're recording.
It's
6:22.
Yes.
It's 6:22. No decisions were made. And what's the other thing I need to say?
Well, we'll we'll continue to evaluate the proposals received
for the services. I thought there was some other little thing I was supposed to say.
No decisions were made.
That's the main thing.
Not a single one.
And we will continue to evaluate the proposals that have been given to us on surfing lessons.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.